Good morning, and welcome to our new show, Community Conversations. I'm your host, Phil Huff, with my co-host this morning, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Phil.
So Community Conversations is a series of pre-recorded interviews. We were missing the morning show, and we hope you were too. This isn't a replacement for the morning show, but they are unique shows we're doing right here on KRFY 88.5 FM. They're intended to last about a half an hour, but I think today's is going to go closer to our more normal 45 to 50 minutes, which is okay too. On this show, we bring you current topics of interest as well as local voices, ongoing information that is especially pertinent at this time. We are using technology that's relatively new to us at KRFY to record these so that everyone is nice and safe and remote. So forgive us if you hear the occasional internet or Zoom hiccup or gap. Bear in mind, too, that we are recording this information. This is a Thursday. It'll hopefully be played next Tuesday, or I guess when you hear this, it will have been recorded last Thursday. So things do change, and any information that should be checked, cross-check, or double-check. We are starting each week with a segment we're calling Open for Business, and we're really excited because this week we get to have the president of the Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce on, Kate McAllister, to talk about the chamber being open for business and what else is open for business in the greater Sandpoint area. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me on.
So you are open for business and Sandpoint is reopening. So tell us about the changes that are occurring.
Well, the chamber, we're still in the office working. However, our visitor center is also part of the Chamber of Commerce, and our visitor center is closed until we're thinking June 1st. We closed it on March 17th. I remember that since that's my national holiday, simply because my board reached out and said, hey, have we had any visitors? And it just happened that week that we had 40 visitors from Seattle. I had 3 people from Germany and 7 people from France. And so the board made the decision that we were going to shut it down so that we wouldn't basically be ground zero. However, the chamber is open. Ricky and I are working. The door's locked, but we're still doing our day-to-day business. Today, I just presented a grant, our grant presentation to the state, and we're trying to move things along. So for us, and I think when we open, maybe some of the changes will be that, of course, Ricky and I will wear masks, and then maybe limiting people, the number of people that can come into the visitor center. We're not sure about that yet. But there are times during the summer that we have 40 to 50 people in here at a time, and we're just not that, especially now, I just don't think that that would be a good idea. But visitors are still coming because we keep replacing the visitor guides out in the outdoor rack almost daily. So they're still coming here. But anyway, so the chamber's open for business, but the visitor center is not.
Do you find your work is shifting more towards supporting local business rather than focusing in on tourism right now?
Yes. Just the focus on tourism right now has been because our grant is due to the state, and that's for next year. But our focus definitely has been local business. We collaborated with Keoki, and Keoki set up a mirrored site on both of our websites, because my main concern was if I send it out through ChamberMaster and if I send it out through MailChimp, then information is only going to be going to our chamber members. And that's about 400, which is a good number of businesses here. But we also know that there's about a little under 1,000 business licenses issued by the city every year in Sandpoint. And so when Keoki and I collaborated, the idea was I don't want it to matter if you're a chamber member or not. All businesses are important, and we need to get this information out. And so Keoki created the mirror sites on the chamber and on Sandpoint Online. And so basically, every day we were updating about who was open and who was doing takeout and what businesses were doing in the community, also as well as listing all of the places they could get help. The paycheck protection, the economic injury disaster loan, and now with EDC, I think it's called the Rebound Recovery Response, I think that's it, for local businesses. And so that has been our point where that's what we've been working on. As well as I can tell you that I really need a break from social media. I have been posting literally all day long. If it's pertinent to the businesses, whether it's the health district update, or if it's Bonner County emergency, whatever it is, I've been trying to update that on all our social media platforms. So I feel as though I've been busy. The ironic thing is this was supposed to be my month sabbatical in April, and I think I've worked twice as hard as if it were just normal time.
I can imagine. It sounds like you've been very busy. Kate, you are in touch with the local Sandpoint businesses. Why don't you tell us more about that? How are they doing? Are some still thriving? Are we having any sad closures that we might wish hadn't happened?
Well, the wonderful thing about our businesses is we are really a resilient little community. I don't think any of them are doing well. I you know, the owners are really stressed and concerned about their employees, and also the viability of their business going forward. Since none of us have been in this position before, we don't know what that's going to look like. Those who are doing curbside, you know, the restaurants have said they're doing better than they thought they would with curbside, but certainly they're not doing as well as if they could have indoor seating. You know, and then you have things like Curry in a Hurry and iCards and the Eureka Institute, who joined together to do the Get a Meal, Give a Meal, which is just really amazing. And so you've seen all these little things happen where businesses, you know, like Joe's Philly started Sandpoint Strong just to put positive things on Facebook. And so I haven't been able to talk to a lot of them. Some of the retailers, I do join the Sandpoint Shopping District meeting every Thursday morning. I missed it this morning and I haven't in a long time. You know, and they're all concerned too about what happens with, you know, when do we open and how many people do we let in and, you know, do we wear masks? And the chamber, just as a sidebar, is we are kind of mask central. So the Angels Over Sandpoint, the Rotary, and a couple other people have been making masks for us so that businesses, for the employees, because they're homemade masks, they're not N95s. If businesses need masks, just let us know. We don't, you know, and we just told everybody who's making them, just keep on making them. So if you want to donate to Rotary or donate to Angels, that would be fabulous. And if your business needs a mask, please reach out to the chamber and we'll see what we can do for you. Of course, right now we're trying to get all of our retailers taken care of first because they're opening up in the first phase. They're all very hesitant. You know, some did receive their PPP, others didn't. I have no idea why, but I think they're holding on and they're hoping for at least a fairly good July and August. Now, I've been in some webinars, and it actually had to do with tourism because a lot of our businesses really depend on tourism each year. About 80 of them told me when we did an Intercept survey that they depend on it at least 60 to 98% of their business, and they could not survive just on local support. And so understanding that, in some of these webinars, it said that in travel, when people are making travel plans, 72% used to go to the big cities and Disneyland and the big attractions. And that was before COVID. And now after COVID, that's out. They want to go to rural areas and they want to go to beach resorts. And so I think, you know, and again, we've already been seeing that they're coming over. Washington doesn't open till the end of May, maybe. Oregon, I heard, is closed till July 6th. And so that's our drive market. So they're going to be coming here. So it could be a double-edged sword. I mean, it could be great for businesses because, you know, we do need the business. But it's also letting in the unknown.
So a lot's not known yet, and some businesses have opened up and others hope to open up. Are there any that you know of that just simply they're calling it quits? This isn't the time to reopen? Or is everybody hanging in there somehow?
Everybody's hanging in somehow. A lot of them, like I said, are very creative. They have been doing online, and that's been really great. You know, like there's a couple stores downtown that have actually been doing fairly well with that. There are stores that their employees are hesitating to come back, you know, for one reason or another. If they're in the, you know, like my age, if they're the age that they're more susceptible to COVID, then, you know, they're not ready to go back to work yet. But thankfully, I've not heard of anybody yet who won't be able to open back up.
Kate, are you hearing anybody who's changed their business procedures, their business plans, and really like it and maybe intend to continue in a whole new business model? It could be an upside.
Yeah, I think that the ones who are doing well online will probably enhance that. But if they also have a storefront, it's really great to have people come in the storefront and actually look at your products. So I think if anything, they might enhance their online, but keep their storefront.
So we're sure you'll know the answer to this. Milltown Distillery will go back to making booze and stop making hand wash, right?
I don't know. You mean I can't drink their hand wash? No. We assume so. I think it's very interesting that, you know, I never even would have thought that a distillery could turn into a hand sanitizer. But yes, I believe that they will go back to making lovely libations.
Very good. Kate, you've talked about give a meal, get a meal, get a meal, give a meal. I might have that reversed. But are there any other ideas that you have to help out our local businesses? We all know to try and take advantage of the ones that are open and that we can order from. But any other advice that would be helpful for listeners?
I would say buy gift certificates if they don't have an online presence. Really, when they do start to open, to go to the stores, whether you wear a mask, we're finding that it's the boomer generation who really wants you to wear a mask. The millennials, it's about 40% who think you should wear a mask. But I would really highly encourage people to go out in the shops. I mean, this weekend, you know, maybe it'll be time that they can go out and do that, because they really need our business. They really, really need our business to stay open. And all of them are important to the fabric of who we are. They add to who we are. And, you know, again, buying gift certificates, doing takeout. My husband and I decided that we would put half of our stimulus into our savings account. And then half of it, we've been giving $50 donations, and we've been, you know, doing takeout two or three times a week. And I have to tell you, I miss going out to dinner or going
don't
out
we
to the,
all.
The bar.
Yeah, walking past one of the bakeries today, it was like, would really just rather be inside having a pastry and coffee.
Right?
But with the disruptions going on, there are going to be opportunities, there's going to be challenges, and there's disruptions. Employers that are opening back up may not be able to hire the same workforce back because of various reasons. Tell us about how the Chamber is assisting in that.
Well, we are starting to see, and then there are some employees who don't want to come back because they're doing okay, which I'm not upset about for them for doing that, because I mean, it's just the way life is. What we are doing is we're posting jobs in our newsletter. We're doing two newsletters a week. We're doing the Monday regular newsletter filled with so much information. I can't even believe that people read it all, but I'm very thankful that they do, because it seems to be good information. And then Wednesday, we've started to put out a new newsletter posting jobs for businesses. I think Trinity and Pack River Store and a number of others have sent us, you know, and again, you don't have to be a chamber member. We are willing to post that for you. And keeping in mind that the chamber is a small nonprofit. I have an open position here that I can't fill maybe for the next year. We rely on, you know, our chamber members, and we understand right now that, you know, maybe they can't pay it but we still want to help. And again, it doesn't matter if you're a chamber member, if you have needs for employees, then we certainly will put that out to our world.
Glad you mentioned nonprofits, because there are quite a few in town and they're an important part of the business economy here. And of course, all of them are struggling because of the donations potentially being off, the cancellation of fundraisers, economic distress, and it's a good reminder to support local nonprofits as well as businesses, and maybe talk a little bit to that sector, if you would.
Again, we're such a generous community. Our nonprofits seem to be getting good donations. I think exactly what you said, Phil, what's going to hurt us is when we can't have events. We know Lost in the 50s has been canceled. We will have to cancel Summer Sampler, which is at the end of June. And the festival has been canceled. And so, you know, the Summer Sampler is small compared to the others. We haven't heard of anything else canceling, but we're hoping if all the stages go well, then those who have events in July, August, and September, we can still do them. The CHAFE 150 has moved to September 12th. And so really when you rely on events, it's really tough. So I would really encourage all of your listeners that when there is an event for a nonprofit, when we're able to have it, if you can participate in some way, even the Summer Sampler for the Chamber, you know, that's $7,000. That may not seem like a lot of money to most people, but it's a lot of money to my bottom line. And so even the small fundraisers, and people have been more than generous, like to the food bank. It just really warms my heart and another reason why I really love our community.
Yes, and there are a number of online auctions happening, so check out your nonprofits for those, some ways to help out and maybe get a good bargain, too.
That's right.
Well, Kate, before we close out the Open for Business segment, are there any additional thoughts you have, and maybe the resource, online resource one more time?
The online resource, you can find it at sandpointchamber.org under the COVID-19 updates. Also on Sandpoint Online under the COVID-19 updates. And I just want to say that I'm just really proud of us as a community because we've all been figuring out how to take care of everything and take care of each other and to just keep on hoping. And if you need help in some way, reach out to somebody. I know the funding through the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation really is a way for organizations, if they have financial problems, they can, you know, get money to have somebody come and help them financially. So we're doing everything that we can. And if there's something that you need, you can reach out to us at the Chamber of Commerce, and maybe we can direct you to get help. But try and keep your chins up, and we'll get through this together. And when we come out the other side, we'll be much stronger.
Kate, that's great advice, but I've got one last question.
Sure.
You'd mentioned missing being out to dinner, and one part of the Chamber that I think is just a wonderful part of being in the Chamber of Commerce is the weekly luncheons where businesses are able to meet and greet and network. And when do you anticipate that function returning?
Thank you for asking. We get anywhere from 40 to 60 people, and so we're kind of playing that by ear. We hope June, but more than likely, probably July is when we'll have our next general membership luncheon. I know we've missed ribbon cuttings and we've missed all kinds of things, ambassador luncheons, and hopefully we'll get back to that very soon.
All right. Well, Kate McAllister of the Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce, I want to thank you for joining us for our segment Open for Business and wishing the best of luck to the Sandpoint Chamber.
Thank you very much.
And we'll now move on to our featured interview for this morning, and that is the Selkirk International Loop. And we're joined by its executive director, Stephanie Sims. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Very happy to have you. And I'll just additionally mention that in some of our previous interviews, we allow the Open for Business interviewee to go on with their daily work. We say goodbye to them. However, we'd like for Kate McAllister to remain with us for the rest of the interview because Kate has involvement with this organization. She's on the board. So Kate is still with us.
Yeah, I think, Kate, you're the president of the board or chairman of the board, is that right?
Yeah, I'm the chairman of the board. Very proud to be chairman of the board.
Very good. Stephanie, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to be the executive director for the Selkirk International Loop?
Well, my background, I work with another nonprofit organization that has some very similar characteristics that mirror the loop. where a board is split between the U.S. and Canada, and so a lot of their financials and marketing and such just happened to fit very equally. So they had a position open, and I applied, and voila, here I am.
That's an unusual job description to have to work between two countries. Tell us a bit more about that.
It is. For the Selkirk Loop, we are a nonprofit in both countries. In the U.S., it started in 99, and in Canada, it was 2001. And so we have different sets of bylaws, different financials. We file taxes separately, but it's a nonprofit in both countries. Our board of directors are then also split between, so that there is representation all around the loop.
Very interesting. Tell us about the International Loop.
It is a scenic driving route that's 280 miles that encircles the Selkirk Mountain Range in northern Idaho, eastern Washington, and southeastern British Columbia. It is the only internationally recognized route in North America, so it's recognized by both countries. And so we frequently refer to ourselves as a two-nation vacation.
So how did it come about?
Well, I think it started with some business owners that had both excellent timing and foresight. And they decided to work together to try to come up with some ways that would attract travelers to the area. And when they started doing that, there was a push for scenic byways and national scenic byways on the U.S. side. So they applied for those state scenic byways in Idaho and in Washington. There are three scenic byways in Idaho, two in Washington, and then when they strung all those together, they could apply for a national scenic byway, and they were elevated to the top status as an All-American road on the U.S. side. There are only 31 of those in the United States, so we're very happy to have that category. On the Canadian side, it was fairly simple, just a scenic drive that they needed to apply for. And they're sometimes called circle routes or driving routes. And so you put the two together.
Very good. Phil, when you asked the last question, I thought I heard you say a boot. Are you trying to connect with the Canadian side?
The follow-up question is, how did it come a boot in Canada? now, most people drive this, but some do bicycle it, don't they?
You know, we have a little bit of everything. There are, most are here with their own personal vehicles. Some are here in their RVs and travel trailers. There are motorcycles, bicycles. I'm amazed at that type of an athlete that can cycle that many miles. And then we also have some tour buses that come through with larger groups.
Very good. Why don't you tell us about some of the scenic high points? Why might we be interested in this drive?
Well, not only is it one of the most beautiful areas along the route, the entire route is along a body of water with some beautiful vistas and mountains and great scenic spots for photos. But it also has some very unique points of interest, one-of-a-kind attractions, some historical sites that you won't find in any other location. So it has interest for a wide variety of people. There's outdoor recreation, hundreds of trails that are maintained with different governmental agencies, mountain biking, waterfalls, wonderful different venues for music and plays. So depending on what your interest is, you will find something to do.
And ferry rides.
Yes, it is the longest free ferry ride in the world. So So it's one of the top highlights of the trip.
A wonderful feature. And I think a lot of people come because of the loop, but then there's side loops that they stay for and also do. Tell us about how that started and what's involved with it.
There are, when we first started this route, they did a survey and travelers were coming for 1 or 2 days. And they were trying to figure out a way to get them to stay in the area a little longer. And they decided to add these, what we call super side trips. And there are 6 of them, 3 on each side of the border, take you into different communities, different points of interest, different attractions, different focuses. And then it puts you right back onto our main loop. So it adds another 500 miles to the original 280 miles. So it's almost 800 miles that we are encompassing and promoting.
That is a huge driving loop. That could be 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, we do recommend 3 to 5.
I will tell you that I drove part, I'm not sure if I'm, well, I didn't drive really the side loops, but my husband and I did take this loop last year, and we thought it was as charming as could be. We did take the ferry, we visited the House of Glass, which might be worth a mention, and a few other side stops.
Now, along the route, we find Sandpoint's sister city in British Columbia, don't we, Nelson?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which came first, the sister city or the loop?
The loop came first. The sister city came, 2 or 3 years ago, Kate?
Actually, it was about 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, before we begin on this trip, we know some of the things that would be important to plan for, that it could be anywhere from 280 up to 800 miles, but what is important when planning this loop trip?
We do have a publication that we produce. It's an 80-page travel guide that will take you through each of the communities that you can use to help plan different attractions. It includes the ferry schedule, border crossing tips. It has a map in it for assistance and different businesses that support us so that you can support them along the route. And you do need to have a passport. So either your passport book or your passport card or an enhanced driver's license.
Now, we know because of the COVID pandemic that border crossings have changed and even travel restrictions between Idaho and Washington are in place. Tell us about the border restrictions. They're still in place. Is there any information on when they may or may not change?
Yeah, right now I'm looking at probably you need to stay in place until the first week in June, and then I might have a better picture on how things are starting to open up. The international border right now is closed through the month of May, so hopefully that will open, but it could be extended. And then we have the province of British Columbia is beginning to open up in different stages, as well as Washington, Idaho, and then our super side trip that just dips into Montana. They're all opening at different stages, different paths, different timings with different businesses. So at this time, I'm saying to just stay put until the 1st of June when everybody kind of matches up a little better. And hopefully you'll be able to move around a little more freely, still with social distancing, but hopefully we'll be able to get back to a little closer to normal.
That does make sense. You know, I was going to ask you the question, what if a person wanted to do an out and back day trip, not buy gas, just, you know, sort of come and go, but there probably isn't much open. It might be a scenic drive, but there certainly wouldn't be many opportunities to visit the businesses and the historical features, etc.
Right. Many of those are still closed. Some will begin to open in the middle of May, but it depends on where you are. And Washington is also as a hurdle where they're opening in different phases by county. And we fill in two counties in the Washington section. So what is open in one area may not be open just a few miles down the road. So it's probably best to just hold tight, and we'll cross that bridge in a few weeks.
For people listening, this might be a good alternative to other summer travel plans that they might find themselves having to put on hold or wanting to put on hold as we talk about recreating close to home. Tourism close to home like this is perhaps a thing that we'll see a side benefit from it, as Kate was talking about, perhaps more local people engaging in things like this.
That's what we're anticipating, is people will be staying closer to home. We have always been a drive market, so I think that will still happen. We have over 1 million acres of public land, and like I mentioned before, hundreds of trails for hiking and biking, so you can still get outside and enjoy the beautiful area and not feel that you're exposing yourself when you're in the great outdoors.
Yes, maybe pack your tent and plan on a little camping if you're doing the Selkirk Loop this year.
Oh, I have an important question. Clockwise or counterclockwise?
I get that question almost every day. Our publications are put together in a counterclockwise direction, just to stay consistent, but it is beautiful in both directions, so it's really up to you.
Very good. I won't be concerned about that then. Stephanie, do you see this pandemic changing the future of the way the International Selkirk Loop works? Do you see future permanent changes, or is it something you're seeing as only temporary?
You know, at this point, it might be too early to say. We are tightening our belts just like every other organization out there. How our funding is based is similar to a chamber, with memberships and advertising and those bed tax dollars. And since that is not being allowed at this point, it will have a significant impact on us. We're trying to make the best choices going forward so that we can benefit from travelers coming in, so that it will help those businesses to help us head in the right direction. We'll see where that takes us.
Sure. And you are a business, of course, a nonprofit. Yes, you're a nonprofit.
That is correct.
And so, okay. And so, how is your funding being affected? It sounds negatively, we would assume that, but are you able to request funds from both governments? How does that work for you?
For us, our calendar year ends in the end of June. So at this moment, we are doing fine. It's from July forward that I expect to see some significant changes, when we would start over with that membership in the next cycle. We do apply for some funding on both sides, but again, that funding is based on a bed tax that is not being allowed at this time with that type of travel. So my hotels and resorts on the Canadian side are completely closed, and it's only for essential travel on the U.S. side. So that is going to be greatly diminished from what we have seen in the past.
And that raises a really important topic. Not just borders opening up, but the lodging and the hospitality industry need to reopen, really, for folks to have places to stay, or campgrounds need to reopen at least. And will you be able to provide some information for folks when those things are happening? Perhaps some good deals even.
Perhaps so. Like I said, June, that first week of June is going to be really pivotal for us. So I hope to see the downward trend on the cases so that things can continue to open. But by mid-June, the resorts and hotels should be opening on the BC side, as well as campgrounds. And on the U.S. side, that will be starting mid-May. So hopefully by mid-June, we are looking a little more normal.
All right. And do you have recommendations for how potential travelers would find out more about what's open and what isn't?
You know, at this point, I would suggest contacting our office, and then I can refer you to the community or chamber for that area. We do have a significant number of them, so probably start with me. And they could go to our website, which is selkirkloop.org, and send me an email from there.
Well, this sounds like wonderful way to get out of the house. Before we end, is there anything that we haven't asked you that you want to share with the listeners?
I would just love for you to order the travel guide and make future plans for a Tunisian vacation.
Yes, if we can't be on it quite yet, at least we can dream about it, which is always fun. Well, I'd like to thank you very much, Stephanie Sims, the Executive Director of the Selkirk International Loop, and then Kate McAllister, who's been kind of quiet in the background there, but still on board with us. Thank you, Kate McAllister of the Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you both for joining us today. And Julie, do you want to take us out?
Of course. For those of you who've listened throughout the last nearly hour, once again, this is KRFY, listener-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle, and you've been listening to Community Conversations. This is an alternative to our normal live morning shows that would have been occurring Tuesday through Thursday mornings here in Sandpoint. As an alternative, these are recorded programs, recorded several days before and then played on our normal Tuesdays and Thursdays. So thank you for joining us. I hope that the information will be helpful for you, and everyone have a great week.